The Loanacris clouds, composed of ice crystals, shine with a mother-of-pearl iridescence. The higher noctilucent clouds, composed of cosmic dust, shine and reflect a silvery white radiance. From space, Meton looks very bright from the reflection of star radiation from these high clouds. It looks much like Venus does from space in Earth's system. The peace and silence of the atmosphere blew into the room, bringing the fragrance of the land and the tang of the sea, and I longed to go out into the clear, fresh day. Come, said Akin, taking my hand. We shall go to the hilltop. Refreshment for the soul is vital for you, my dear. We walked quietly through the lush green grass of the hillside to the gently rounded top, and sat down in the fragrant grass and flowers beneath a lovely tree. It was a tree of vast height, reaching straight and tall into the deep blue of the sky. Its graceful branches bore shiny, dark green leaves and swept out in a symmetry of curved strength from the rose-red bark of the trunk. A gentle breeze from across the sapphire sea fanned my cheeks. With it came the elusive and exotic fragrance of this sea that I had known in the spaceship, as well as many years before on Earth when it came to me as I lay near death in Grootshua Hospital in faraway Cape Town, the fragrance that had revived me, giving to me the breath of life again as this glorious scene unfolded about me. Here it was in all its lovely reality, giving me a new lease on life to fulfill my destiny here. How long will I be allowed to remain here with you on this lovely planet? Will it be possible to stay even a little while? I feel reborn and rejuvenated, as if my life is now really just beginning. I threw my head back and looked up into the eternal depths of sapphire blue as the fragrant breeze swept up the slope from far across the sea. My beloved, I want you to remain with me forever, but this is not possible at present. Your physical body will be unable to acclimate to the higher vibratory rate within our atmosphere that the radiation from our three stars causes. These will affect the rhythm of your heart. Your heart has an electrical timing device that is attuned to the star of your system, the Sun. As we here on this planet are attuned to the frequency of our star's resonating vibrations. I can control the electrical rhythm of your heart for a limited period, which will amount to 4 months of your Earth time. I intend to keep you with me for this period not only for my sake, but for the sake of our Sun, who will need his mother's close presence, and for your sake too. You will need the close presence of your child and your mate. This is natural and necessary in life. The absence of this creates psychological trouble and illness that has a lasting effect on children, hence all the throat and tonsil illnesses of children on Earth. They are breathing a polluted atmosphere and are left alone far too much by their parents, which results in fear and lack of security, as well as nervous tension and insufficient sleep and rest. So the body gets out of rhythm, and illness results from the lack of love, constant close proximity, harmony and quiet. The people of Earth are poisoned and sick as a result of their way of life. My beloved, how simply wonderful! I said with joy as I hugged and kissed Akin. Now I can really live and enjoy every moment of my life here. It's going to be the most wonderful 4 months of my life. It will give me the strength to carry out my destiny in the future, and to go back to Earth with help and love for all things in my heart. Your heart, though, dearest, will never recover. It will always go out of rhythm now, even back on Earth, where the solar wind or flares will affect it badly at peak periods of the sunspot cycles. Oh! But how worthwhile it all is! I cried to the wide-open skies as I flung my arms wide to the universe. To love you and have your son, and to live with you for 4 months. Any sacrifice is worth all this. Yet it is no such thing as a sacrifice, I continued, filled with awe and wonder. That only applies to human ideas. This is life, real life and my life. Oh, how happy I am! Nothing and nobody can ever take all this away from me. It is my life and will live with me forever, to give me strength and a reason for being why I am I, so that I could experience all this wonder and beauty, and to give me a reason for living at this cycle in time. It was all meant to be, and nothing can change this. It is the inexorable law of the universe. and the universe will take care of you, my dear, Akin said, gently putting his arms about me to lift me from the emerald sward. As you think and live, so the universe will respond. Humankind can live as long as his brain cells are regenerated by the true balance of the life-giving radiation from the center of all life. The beautiful, tumbling country rolled on up to great mountains topped with glowing rose-red rock faces, the grassy slopes dotted with golden trees. Clear, sparkling rivers glistened in the star-drenched atmosphere, cascading their way to the sea. Exotic flowers in brilliant colors grew everywhere, and masses of lilies flowered like a carpet in the woods, where nature rules in an abundance of luxuriant flora. Fish and mammals abound in the seas, lakes and rivers are meeting. There are no large flesh-eating creatures such as sharks, nor are the carnivorous creatures on the land. The land creatures are herbivorous and live on the lush green vegetation. Overstocking is solved by removing surplus creatures to other planets, where similar conditions prevail, so that no destruction of life occurs. The cattle are a select few, scientifically bred for milk. They have no horns at all and are pure white. Very gentle and friendly, with large soft eyes, they love to lie in the waters of the lakes. There is always a clean, fresh smell about them, and they are never herded into buildings of any kind. They are milked out in the open fields they come when they are called. Their milk is high in protein and essential minerals, and it has a delicious flavor. White horses pranced and gambled over the emerald grasslands, full of fire and spirit but gentle and loving. Trained to respond to thought, they came trotting up to us and gently nuzzled for tidbits. I caught my breath at their beauty. Here were the true equines, the fabled creatures of the heavens that drew the golden chariot of Helios across the aura of the stars. It was they who spawned the Arabians, with their delicate heads and breadth of brow between large gentle eyes, the classic curve lending grace to breadth of nostrils, and with rounded pure white bodies shaped in perfection of bone. Bred in the cradle winds of heaven, the mark of their lineage is cast in a gentler mold. They are like their human friends, who also spawned a race of people on earth and whose mark of lineage is also cast in a gentler mold, capturing the texture of the clouds from heaven's purity. Fascinated, I watched their graceful movements on the slope of the hill as they cantered down to the stream below. The birds were the most beautiful I had ever seen. Brilliantly colored, they abounded throughout the lovely land, singing the magic carols of bird song in the higher octaves of sound. Perfectly tame, they flew down from the skies or the trees to settle with a flutter of importance on your outstretched hand or shoulders. With an abundance of natural food and water, they came for love and affection as they had been encouraged to do by this civilization down through the centuries. They regarded me with friendly unwinking eyes, heads cocked to one side, and burst into trills of enchanting song, liquid and clear, accepting me as a part of the scene as they fluttered and hopped over the grass. Sighing with relaxed contentment, I lay back on the thick couch of soft grass. Great golden bees hummed and droned among the flowers, and they lulled me to sleep. Akin let me sleep on, and he was still sitting beside me when I awakened. Looking up through the branches to the deep blue beyond, I watched a silver ship move across the sky. How beautiful! I murmured. Real peace, with the soothing rhythm of nature. Akin smoothed my hair back as he leaned onto his elbow with his face close to mine. Our way of life is very simple, a serene and direct approach to all things in life. Truth cannot be hidden, and there is no subterfuge in our attitude of mind. We have no politics, and thus there is peace and harmony in all things controlled by our civilization. Like the birds, we like to relax and sing at times. Akin then lifted his head to the heavens and sang a haunting melody in a rich, deep, glorious tenor. Stirred by the beauty and romance of his voice, my eyes filled with tears of emotion. How wonderful life is when one forges a bond that transcends all other needs, an affinity and sympathy so perfect that one becomes a barometer to the thoughts and actions of a loved one. My voice will always sing to you, singing in the distance from another place, for we are as truly in the universe and in the skies as any of the other bright spheres we see beyond our systems. Beyond Alpha Centauri are many other bright orbs where other citizens of the universe have their being, and they sing forever to the music of the stars. The everlasting beauty of our love sings out in harmony with the celestial glockenspiels that resonate through the fathomless reaches of space. Our song will fortify the many windows of your soul, and there will be no sadness left, but only happiness in our eternal unity. We all have to play our part in the shaping and evolution of humankind in the cosmos. You, my dear, will need to have courage, to be brave and go back to Earth to do what you have to do. Back on Earth, your heart will not revert to the slower time beat. Your pulse rate will not remain attuned to the lower vibrations as it was in the past. Your immersion into our time continuum has altered all that. It is possible to gradually acclimatize oneself to a higher vibration merely by diet and breathing exercises. This, of course, takes time and concentration in the natural way, as we have already prepared your heart to cope with our space-time continuum. When I take you back to Earth, though, you will have to live on a drug to regulate the rhythm of your heartbeat. I impressed the scene in my mind. I would need it for all the time to come a source of strength for the future back on Earth, a fountain from whence my courage could be replenished during the long years ahead back on a hostile planet. The high vibratory rate within this atmosphere was affecting my heart, and I felt my pulse with alarm. The arrhythmia remained ominously high. Akon massaged the left side of my chest, under my breast, with firm, gentle pressure. He gave me an herbal tablet to swallow, and I felt better. We have always maintained the delicate balance of radiations between the living brains of mammals and the living stars of their systems, Akon said. Humankind can live as long as their brain cells are regenerated by the true balance of the life-giving radiation from the star of their system, which is the center of all life. In this way, they are able to tune in and tap the vast power and influence emanating from the nucleus of the galaxy, the everlasting life force of the universe, a prodigious intelligence of light waves, continually transmitted from the depths of space. Humans, with their large brains, are able to contact and retain from this vast reservoir the knowledge, wisdom, intelligence and longevity that are the hallmarks of a spiritually advanced race. The human brain emits radio waves to connect with the radio waves emanating from the home star. If a star is a variable, like the sun, the radiation bombards the planet sun steadily and the brain cells of living creatures degenerate. This is the cause of the aging process, and these creatures become aggressive and prey upon each other. They age rapidly, because the vital brain cells are affected and begin to decay. How different would the story of Earth become, if the people of that beautiful living sphere could change their attitude of mind? For an attitude of mind is a product of environment, and climatic changes can be induced and controlled. We are not overpopulated. We have a method of birth control that uses a simple plant that grows in the woods here. This herb is added to the diets of men and women as needed, and the effects are temporary. In fact, the herb has great health properties and is a beneficial addition to the diet. We do not believe in overcrowding or haphazard population growth, which are very retarding to mental expansion and health. Just as people of Earth moved out to other countries across their seas, so we move out to other planets within the galaxy. In this way, we retain a balance of population. Vibrations are most intense within Earth's atmosphere, and the minds of all living creatures and the sensitivity of plants are attuned to these vibrations. Because of the widespread swarm of humanity crowding the land masses and cities of the planet, these vibrations are harsh and out of harmony. Such discord is most intense in the lower octaves, and resonance is most damaging to the delicate cells of the brain. This represents a major hazard to the mental health of millions of your people, and it is rapidly building up in the lower atmosphere. Supersonic vibrations of high-speed aircraft press on their brains, and although they are unheard by the ears, the danger increases in the resonance of inaudible higher octaves. Well, there is none of that sort of thing here, So I want to forget all about the behavior of people on the planet. I have you and my son here with me now. Akon kissed me long and tenderly. A great white seabird settled beside us, ruffling snowy feathers and regarding us with bright golden eyes, head aslant as it gracefully folded its vast wings into place. I stroked its head gently and gave it a piece of oat bread out of Akon's pouch. The bird fastidiously pecked it up with a delicate air of grace and then waddled off through the grass, quietly chirping to itself in contentment. How lovely for the birds! There were no extremes of winter cold and summer heat, and no destructive storms to batter their feather-light bodies about the sky. The seasons were gentle and temperate, controlled by the scientific methods of a great and wonderful people who remained quietly within their own domain of peace, a utopia that really existed. Therefore, they did not wish to make contact with outside civilizations that could destroy their gentle way of life. Experiencing the mode of living conducted by civilizations on Earth, I understood fully why Akon's civilization kept its distance and refused to have any contact with the governments of that planet. "Here come the horses," Akon said. "Forget about the barbarians. They will never reach our system here. We moved out of the Sun's system because of them. They are already probing onto Venus and Mars and transmitting radio signals in an attempt to communicate with us. This is a highly dangerous exercise for them, making their position known within the galaxy. There are other beings out there, ruthless and highly advanced in their science and technology, who may decide to decipher these signals and follow up the invitation in order to colonize Earth, instead of making friendly advances as Earth scientists hope. We have no intention of being involved in all that." "Of course," I replied. "Your civilization would be destroyed if you did. We watched a beautiful craft, glinting and flashing in the golden radiance from the three stars, skim over the top of the sea and then rise up toward the hilltop. Floating in the sparkling air, it looked ethereal as it stopped and hovered over us. It dipped down in greeting, and then flashed away again. We waved back to the people inside, and the horses nuzzled around us for oat bread. Akon lifted me onto the back of the mare that stood quietly beside me. Her back was soft and comfortable and I buried my hands into her snowy, silken mane and gripped her warm sides with my knees. Akon vaulted onto the back of a glorious creature who had neighed and trotted up to him. We moved down the hill, across the stream, heading toward the mountains. There were no such things as bridles and saddles. The horses responded to thought and voice. The fleet-footed creatures seemed to skim over the soft sward with a very comfortable and graceful pace, jumping the smaller streams and hedges in their stride. We soon reached the foothills and the horses slowed, ambling and pacing up the slopes with a swinging motion that was quite natural and untiring for them. It was second nature for me to be on the back of a horse. All my life I had used their forelegs instead of my own, as I had ridden horses since the age of one. We reached the sheer cliff faces of rose-red rock just as the clouds cleared away, and Akon lifted me off the mare's soft and broad back. The horses went to drink from a crystal-clear stream that bubbled over smooth stones. On the bank we found a picnic dray that had been left there by Haban as he hovered over the stream in his small circular craft. He was always so thoughtful and kind, and we discovered a delicious repast prepared by Plier's gentle hands. While resting in a lovely dell with a vast and glorious view of land and sea, a small piece of rose rock dropped from the cliff face above and rolled against my sandaled foot. Picking it up, I held it in my hand, a piece of a beloved meaton, weathered and nurtured in the rock face, more precious to me than the most precious stones of planet Earth. "It is for you," Akon said softly as he looked up at the rock face. "A piece of your own world, to have and to hold always a talisman, to give you strength when you are far away. Even this planet knows you belong here, my beloved." I placed the glowing fragment of rock in the pouch with the oat bread, covering it with soft green moss from the stream bank, and then I saw the maidenhair fern. "Oh!" I exclaimed. "Of course you may," Akon said, answering my thought. Very gently, he gathered up the fern with its roots and placed it in the pouch. When we get back, I shall place the fern in a special container where it can grow and thrive. These plants live forever as we do, and you can care for it always. So now I have the rock, the soil, the flora and the fauna that is within me, I whispered to Achan, my voice trembling with the depth of my emotion. Oh, my beloved, how wonderful it all is, and you are my love and my life. Calling the horses, Achan lifted me again onto the mare's back. We rode quietly through the lovely countryside, on through fields of waving corn and wheat that grew as natural grasses. Further on there were fields of oats and barley. Corn, or maize, grew in abundance everywhere, while various types of fruits and vegetables grew in areas set aside for such cultivation. There was never any shortage of food, and the vegetation maintained a steady rate of growth in the absence of the retarding effects of the weather or a moon. Luxuriance of vegetation created a high oxygen content within the troposphere, and the animal life balanced this with carbon dioxide expiration that is absorbed by the plants. There was no pollution released into the atmosphere to deplete the vital ozone layer, which safeguarded the planet against ultraviolet radiation. The atmosphere was fresh and invigorating. One felt full of an alertness of mind and body. To become tired was unknown, one felt relaxed and completely without any nervous tension. Vast agricultural farms supplied the fresh food necessary for the sustenance of life and health throughout the planetary system. The great spaceships also transported it to other planets, where colonists improved conditions for future generations beyond the confines of Alpha Centauri. For we are the remnant, the descendants of these human beings who developed a great and glorious civilization on Venus. The temperate climate of Meton, and the other planets within the system, has naturally helped to evolve to great equanimity the minds of its inhabitants. Electric storms, which affect the emotions because of changing magnetic fields, occur beyond the equatorial zones in the southern and northern hemispheres. The vagaries of climate have been controlled, and the result is that no extremes of heat and cold intrude upon the temperate and equatorial zones of the planet. Rainfall is high, with moderate humidity because of the vast expanse of the seas. Vegetation is lush and green, covering the surface of the land. Large and small islands make up the land masses, and are inhabited throughout the equatorial regions. The polar caps of the auroral areas provide the wind patterns that temper climatic conditions over the surface of the planet. Earthquakes are unknown. The shifting of land masses has been halted by the magnetic balance of the entire solar system, and the surface is not exposed to varied and sudden atmospheric pressures. Every now and then, the mare I was riding picked a mouthful of swaying oat heads. She was very deft with her nimble mouth, and never slowed down from her fleet, smooth pacing. Having small stomachs, horses of this breed like to eat little and often. Achan told me that these lovely creatures were indigenous to Venus, and his civilization had brought the white horses and white cattle from Venus to acclimate on Earth and Mars prior to moving out of the Sun's system altogether. Loading the creatures into vast motherships, they brought them to Meton, where they now thrive as they did in the days of yore on Venus. The atmosphere, vegetation and seas being similar to those of the mother planet. The descendants of these white horses still exist in the strain of the Arabians on Earth. The cattle still exist in India, where they are regarded as holy creatures. The Zulu tribes also covered herds of white cattle. We passed by a silkworm farm where thousands of enormous worms lived on vegetation within enclosed areas. Others, ready to spin, were in large containers where they proceeded to spin a lovely golden thread, fine but very strong, around a wooden peg. Nearby, the silken threads were woven into shimmering material and made up into simple patterns, and people came to choose the colors for gowns and tunics. I felt the delicate folds of my own silken gown, so smooth to the touch and pleasant to wear next to my skin. Achan's people were a natural, constructive and energetic race, each individual doing the work he or she most loved and was suited to. Indeed, they were all individuals, no two alike, and all were completely free and happy without restrictions of any sort. How different from Earth, I thought, where people were mass-produced to conform to fashion and they all looked alike and had to think alike too, otherwise they became something apart, and were shunned by the herd. Back home, we let the horses go and watched them gallop away toward the sea, snowy tails streaming out in the wind of their swift passage. Joyfully we embraced Playa and Haben, who were anxiously waiting for us, knowing that the ride and exercise would hasten the birth of Ekin's son. We all sat quietly in the lovely living room to watch a scene materialize like a curtain across the room. It was a scene in history, back in time, a breathtaking vision in the electric mirage. It showed a fair-skinned people with almond eyes surveying a new planet and talking among themselves in a strange and beautiful language. The land was tropical and overgrown with lush vegetation. Great trees, festooned with creepers, encroached to the edge of broad sandy beaches where long glistening breakers crashed on the golden sands in foaming agitation that indicated a restless atmosphere. Wild creatures chattered and screamed within the dense foliage, which was alive with the sounds of teeming life, virile and ruthless in the fecundity of such a warm and humid atmosphere. The sky was dark and stormy, with long clouds scudding across the sky. Behind the people, a small circular spaceship rested on the wide beach. Our first scientific survey ship had just arrived on Earth, Ekin said, landing on a strange planet for the first time. The great landmasses were harsh and primitive, with many volcanoes, and the seas were tempestuous and ruthless. The planet took many, many years of taming before we could live on the surface. The scene shifted again, showing the surface of another planet, a very different planet, with a beautiful curve of beach meeting a vast, deep blue sea, tranquil beneath a sapphire sky. The emerald green of rolling grasslands sloped away to mountains topped with rose-red cliffs. Great trees dotted the landscape, many colored flowers carpeted the rich terrain and an elusive and haunting fragrance mixed with the tang of the vast seas. The fresh foliage and flora of the land delighted my senses, and I took deep breaths of it. This was Venus. Its glory lived again in the electric mirage, the deep atmosphere reflecting the close and intense radiation of the sun. The planet reflected the light out into space, with only beneficial radiation filtering through the vast ionosphere and the wide ozone layer to the surface. In this way Venus was protected against lethal radiation from its star. Cosmic dust, attracted by the sun, formed high, noctilucent clouds around the planet, adding more light to its reflection. Venus is a home of life in the vast void of the heavens, where there is no darkness in its slow rotation. Its proximity to the sun keeps the upper depths of the atmosphere illuminated with a glowing twilight throughout the night. One's mind needs to encompass the entire universe to realize and know what it is all about. Then Theon spoke in the beautiful language of his people. A translation came directly into my ears from the high back of the couch Ekin and I were sitting on. The cradle of humankind, the mother planet, brought forth the human race out of vast, warm seas covering her surface with sapphire blue. We were spawned in the salty seas, and our blood still harbors her brine. Our lifeblood is but a legacy of the salty seas. It was during the early middle age of this solar system that the dawn of human life evolved. The emergence of humankind in a supernova created an adaptable species of life, retaining always a love for the seas from whence they came, the womb of our creation with the life-giving liquid still running through our veins. For we are the remnant, the descendants of those human beings who developed a great and glorious civilization on Venus. They were stabilized by peace and harmony among themselves, and with nature and the universe. Scattered isles like emeralds slumbered in the filtered rays of the waxing sun, a deep reflective atmosphere of cerulean sky, with snowy clouds to bring the rains of a gentle clime, gave breath to our forebears, who swam in the warm seas and breathed the fresh oxygen of the moist atmosphere. Hair or fur on the body was unnecessary, as the warm climate, stable atmosphere and tranquil seas gave protection. Long, beautiful hair on the head protected the brain from cosmic rays. The hair was full of static electricity for this reason and was blonde or golden to reflect the rays. Pubic areas of the body were also protected by hair.